Once again, if you would have your copy of the Scriptures open to Joshua 1, and we'll refer back a little bit to Deuteronomy 34. But in honor of the Lord and His Word, let's now stand and ask Him to help us understand His Word this morning. Father, it is with great delight that we stand in awe of You, humbly and expectantly, to receive from You the food from Your Word, the nourishment, the challenge. Father, stretch us by Your Word this morning. Teach us, open our hearts and our minds. Mold us more and more into the image of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You, Father, that You have revealed Yourself to us in such a way that we can know You and walk with You and serve You with delight. May that be said of us. May it be true of us, Father, as we leave this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. This is Joshua's commissioning. It's time for him to take the helm. Nevermore was it more important for Joshua to be walking with God than now. The point we want to make in today's message is that those who live out their purpose do so as an outflow of their walk with God. Those who live out their purpose do so as an outflow of their walk with God. We've talked a lot about being safe, about being within rules and boundaries, and we did some of that in the Sunday school, the Bible study this morning. We're very much about safety in our culture too, aren't we? Well, I have some news for you. This is very important. I want you to listen to this. I'm going to give you instructions on how to stay safe in the world today. Avoid riding in automobiles because they are responsible for 20% of all fatal accidents. If you really want to be safe. Number two, do not stay home because 17% of all accidents occur in the home. Number three, avoid walking on streets or sidewalks because 14% of all accidents occur to pedestrians. And number four, avoid traveling by air, rail, or water because 16% of all accidents involve these forms of transportation. Number five, of the remaining 33%, 32% of all deaths occur in hospitals. Above all else, avoid hospitals. You will be pleased to learn that 0.001% of all deaths occur in worship services. Bible study is safe too. The percentage of deaths during Bible study is even less. For safety's sake, attend church and read your Bible. It could save your life.
Okay. How do you get there?
That is totally up to you. You have to walk through the field, over the river, through the woods. I don't know. It's something like that. Okay. Listen, here's another statistic. Okay, the average time that an American spends per day in spiritual activities is 9 minutes. 9 minutes. Walking with God. Nevermore was it more important for Joshua to be walking with God than now, because now was his commissioning. Folks, listen, we have been commissioned. And those who live out their purpose do so as an outflow of their walk with God. And you say, wait a minute, Rich, I'm pretty fulfilled in my purpose. To really know what your purpose is in life, you must know what you were created for. We acknowledge that we were created by God, and therefore we were created with purpose and for a specific purpose. Your specific purpose for your creation is to know God, to fellowship with God, to enjoy Him, and to serve Him with delight. That's why you exist. We have several examples in the Scripture. The Lord gives us the example of the rich fool. Very, very successfully accomplished himself. And he went to bed one night thinking, I've got to build bigger barns. So he built bigger barns and he was very safe and secure. And he went to bed and the Lord said to him, you, tonight, your soul will be required of you. What is that telling us? He, in fact, in the scheme of the big, in the scope of the big picture, he was a failure. Materially, very successful, but ultimately a failure. Because he did not live up to his purpose. He did not live out his purpose. He ignored the fact of his purpose. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and what? Loses his own soul. Folks, that gets right back to the very existential question, why am I here? And if you cannot answer that question, you cannot know success. Can't happen. Those who live out their purpose do so in the outflow of their walk with God. Rebecca Pippert, in her book, Hope Has Its Reasons, relates this story about a famous physicist who confided in her. And he said this. He says, I'm a scientist, you know, a rational person. I've never seen much need for God. All my life, I've felt in charge and in control. I've been extremely successful and made it to the top. Yet, my children don't relate to me easily. They accuse me of trying to control their lives. When I walk into the same room as my son, he starts to stammer. What hurts is that they can't seem to appreciate how much I care and that I'm doing all this for them. But I'll tell you one lesson I've learned. I always said that since I had my children's best interest at heart, they'd be glad for my direction. My children have taught me the hardest lesson of my life, that I'm not in control over what matters most to me. What is your purpose in terms of the economy of God's kingdom, the one who made you and the one who redeemed you? In our Bible study, in our sermon-based discussions last week, one of the questions we discussed is, to what are Christians called? We have been commissioned, haven't we? As God's people, if you read 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10 this morning, you recognize that the Lord speaks of those who are in Christ as His own special people, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. And to what are Christians called? We are called, Romans 1, 7, we are called to be saints. Matthew 5, we're called to be salt and light. 2 Corinthians 5, we are called to be ministers of reconciliation. Matthew 28, we are called to make disciples. Folks, this gets down to the purpose of your existence. To enjoy God, to fellowship Him, and to serve Him with delight. Those who live out their purpose do so in the outflow of their walk with God. So what is Joshua's situation here? Now let's look at Joshua's example. Joshua is receiving his commission right here. And if you were to look back at chapter 34 and verse 9, now it's chapter 34 of Deuteronomy, tells us that Moses has died. He is not able to go into the promised land. But God has a purpose for His people. He's going to take them over the Jordan in to give them the land that He promised to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Some 400 years prior. So verse 9, Deuteronomy 34, 9. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him, so the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. This is passing the baton. The baton now is being passed from Moses to Joshua. Moses had been an example, a mentor to Joshua. Joshua was the disciple of Moses. And we see how valuable, how important that role is here. Because God was now calling a man to lead the charge, a man who had been mentored by the one who was leading the charge. Leadership fosters leadership. And so this mentoring, this example was very important for Joshua. And then we look in chapter 1, look at verses 2 through 4. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. This is God's purpose. This was His plan. As they were coming out of Egypt, this was the plan. God's plan moves on. The purpose keeps moving. The ship keeps sailing in the wind of God's sovereignty. And God is placing Joshua at the helm of the ship. Joshua, you're the leader. Because God's purpose keeps moving. So all the more reason, all the more need, necessity for Joshua to be walking with God, because he had a definite purpose here. But what we have, what's very, very important to understand here, is God's promise. It is the promise of God's presence. These are verses we know well, aren't they? Look with me at verse 5. No one, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. What an incredible promise that Joshua had made to him by God Himself. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. That's where that promise came from. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Verse 5. Now look at the end of verse 10. The last phrase of verse 9, I'm sorry. The last phrase of verse 9. The Lord, your God, is with you wherever you go. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Would you say that with me? The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What a profound statement. Now, wouldn't it make sense if I believe that the Lord my God is with me wherever I go, wouldn't it make sense that I walk with Him? I think it makes absolute sense. So walk with Him. Or are you acting like you're on your own? Do you feel like you're on your own? The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And so in the purpose and the calling that God has for you, there is a phrase that He gives to Joshua, and He says it three times. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. He says it in verse 6. He says it in verse 7. And He says it in verse 9. Be strong and courageous. Now, why would He need to say that to Joshua? You say, oh, wow, what an excellent opportunity. You know, the baton has been passed on, and he received it from Moses of all people. What a great opportunity. Look at this, this position that I'm in. I'm leading this great company of people into the promised land. God is so awesome, and it's going to be such an excellent experience. Now, wait a minute, stop right there. In the Bible study this morning, what did God call Israel? Stiff-necked people. Would you want to be leading 2 million stiff-necked people? That's the problem, isn't it? Be strong and courageous, he says. Be strong and courageous. 2 million stiff-necks. That's probably worse than rednecks. In fact, I believe it is. Most people are afraid of the unknown. Right? Say, because you've been there. I know you are. Those things we have never seen or experienced can seem overwhelming to us. And so Joshua, you know, he can't see down the road. He only knows God's promise, and God's promise that He would be with him. Did you know that on old maps, before the world was understood in modern terms, cartographers, that is, people who made maps, would put down what they knew. But when it came to the edge of the map, beyond the realm of the known, beyond what they had any knowledge or understanding about, they would often write, beyond there be dragons. There's unknown stuff out there, and be weary of it, be afraid of it, the unknown. There was probably a lot of this for Joshua at this particular time. And this is why the Lord told him, be strong and courageous in the unknown. Live out your purpose in the outflow of your walk with God, because it is God who has said, I am with you. I am with you. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. If you believe and you are convinced that you are in Christ today, you belong to the Lord Jesus because you've surrendered to Him in faith, then this promise is yours. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Go back to the question, why am I here? What is my purpose for existence? To what have I been called? Because I have been reconciled to God, I therefore am a minister of reconciliation. I have been called to make disciples. That's not just the pastor's job, you know. It's not just the job of the leaders of the church. All of us are in on that. And I really appreciate Maria's testimony this morning. What an excellent picture that is. And so when he says these words, be strong and courageous, what the Lord is saying to Joshua, live on purpose. Live on purpose. You're not just drifting. Live on purpose. Move ahead courageously in my purpose, trusting and walking with me. Because if you feel like you're all on your own, then you're going to be very much afraid. But if you know that you're walking right there with God and God is with you, and you come across something unknown or something that might prompt fear in you, all you have to do is say, I'm with Him. How's that for courage? Because nothing threatens Him. And nothing can overpower Him. So not only live on purpose, be strong and courageous means to live on purpose. But here's another point. This is very, very important. I want you all to get this, okay? When the Lord says, be strong and courageous, and He says it to Joshua, He says this. He says, you take the steps. You take the steps. The Lord says, I'm with you wherever you go. The assumption is that you're actually going somewhere, right? You take the steps. God grants the purpose. And He grants the power. He grants the protection. He grants the privilege as God's elect. But God's not going to come down and pick up your leg and move your foot. You have to do that. Be strong and courageous. Live on purpose. You take the steps. You're the one that has to move your feet. And so as you live on purpose, you take the steps, live in the outflow of your walk with God, if in fact you are walking with Him. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 37. Some of my favorite verses are 23 and 24. The steps of God. I first learned this as a song, by the way. We had a speaker come to our church, and this was way back when I was young. And the speaker came to our church, and he played this song, and I've never forgotten it. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with His hand. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That doesn't mean that God comes and He moves your feet for you. It means that He lays out the path for you, but you are the one that has to be taking the steps. Okay. There's another very important truth about this. The Psalm 37, 23 and 4 there. It's not like God came to Joshua and says, okay, Joshua, I have a job for you. Now, I'm giving you all the equipment that you need. Now, here's your job. Now, off you go. Go on, go to it. Is that what the Lord did to Joshua? Absolutely not. He said, I am with you wherever you go. Folks, that's important. So walk with Him. Walk with Him. Those who live out their purpose do so in the outflow of their walk with God. And this is why the Lord said to Joshua, walk with me. He didn't use those terms, but that in essence is what He's saying. And we will find this in verses 6, 7, 8, and 9. Walk with me. Walk with me. And what He's saying, the way He's saying this in these verses is the understanding of the fact that God is person. We often think of God as a great, powerful essence. And sometimes we think of Him as if He's some kind of force or just some kind of a reality. But we don't think of Him in terms of person. God is a person. And He made us to walk with Him. So how do we interact with God? What is relationship? Relationship is interaction. How do we interact with God? Well, here's what God tells Joshua right here. He says, interact with God by engaging His Word. Interact with God by engaging His Word. In other words, God's words control his thought and actions. As he saturates his mind with God's word molds his thinking and his attitudes, and his behaviors are an outflow of his thought and his attitudes. And it is God's word that has molded his thought and attitude. We all know what GPSs are today, right? I mean, giving directions is old-fashioned now. We don't have to do that anymore. There is no excuse for getting lost unless your GPS is wrong, right? Anybody been there? But what do? You have that GPS and you have it right there in front of you, and you're right there so you can continually interact with that GPS. But you also have to plug it in. But you have to be interacting with that information. You need to be following what that information is giving you. Right? That's how it is with God's Word. There's a continual, ongoing, progressive interaction with it. And as you're progressing, moving forward, God gives you the steps to move forward. You have to take the steps. Be strong and courageous, he says. But we interact with God by engaging his Word. That leads us to the destination that he has for us. 3 points here in interacting with God. Verse 6, remember my promise. Remember my promise. Interacting with God by engaging his Word means remembering his promise. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What other promise are we talking about? God said, I will give this land to my people. Listen, you can't stand on the promises if you don't know what they are. When I was a choir director up in Virginia, Giles County, Virginia, we sang a song that was the title of it. You can't stand on the promises if you don't know what they are. That's an old hymn that we sing, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. You can't stand on them if you don't know what they are. Folks, we have to be engaging God's Word. We need to be consuming God's Word. So he says, remember my promises. God has promises that he's revealed and he's repeated, and he expects us to know them. And his challenge to Joshua was, you walk with me by engaging my Word. Keep my Word right there. Let your mind be molded and your attitudes be molded by my Word. Remember my promise. Number 2, stay focused. Verse 7. Stay focused. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Let's remember the commands of the Lord, folks. Stay focused. Don't turn to the right or the left. Stay focused on my plan, the Lord says. What has God revealed? Listen, it is so important that we know God, his character, and his purpose according to what's been revealed. We don't come up with it on our own. It's not our opinion. We have God's Word. He has revealed himself and his purpose and his plan to us. We have that. So let's follow that. Let's walk with him by engaging his Word. And then lastly, in verse 8, consume my words. Consume my words. When he says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, the Hebrew word there that is used is the word that is used for mutter. Anybody here done any significant muttering lately? You ever talk to yourself? You know what muttering is? I've done a bit of it in my office. You know why? I'm memorizing 1 Peter right now. And there in verse 12, for specifically of 1 Peter, Peter writes something. And the syntax, he was not a polished writer, okay? And the way he laid out those words, it is for some reason, it has been so hard for me to get that verse down and to say it and just let it flow from my mouth. So what am I doing? I'm sitting there in my office. Probably Linda and Ella have heard me, a few times. I'm okay, really. I want you to know that. I'm reciting Scripture. But what I'm having to go over this verse and over it and over it and over it so that I can get it. And I want to be able to just say it without having to... Oh, yeah, that's what it is. No, I want to know it. I want to say it. I want to have it so that it molds my thinking. And it's there, and I know it's there. And so I've been muttering in my office. That's what this is. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Do you mutter God's Word? I hope you do. We know what the Bible says about memorizing. Folks, you need to consume God's Word. You need to consume God's Word. It is God's revelation to us. God has made himself known to us so that we can know him and walk with him and serve him with delight. It is empowering. It's transforming. And as it molds our thoughts and our attitudes, our behavior becomes an outflow of that. Those who live out their purpose do so as an outflow of their walk with God. And that's why he says, consume my Word. Very important that we do that. It was Moses who said, show me your ways that I may know you. So listen, there are two paths here. Look at this, verse 9. Have not I commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Two paths. One, walking with God, strong and courageous. And his promises that you will prosper and that you will find good success. To prosper means to push forward, to progress toward the goal. Success here is the word that means to be prudent. That means you will act wisely. What does that mean? You're going to make good decisions. You want to make good decisions? You need to be consuming God's word. Your decisions and your actions need to be in the outflow of your walk with God if you want to make good decisions according to God's character and purpose. That's the first path. What is the second path? Number two, walking without God. That is alone. You're marginalizing God. You think, I've got it made. I'm all on my own. You marginalize God. God, you know, I really don't need you. 3 o'clock in the afternoon at work, you've got decisions to be made. You've got people to interact with. And you know, God's just not on your thoughts. You know what you're doing? You're marginalizing God. You know what that means? You're weak. It means you're not going to fulfill your purpose. You're not going to live out your purpose. Because those who live out their purpose do so in the outflow of their walk with God. And when you are weak, when you marginalize God, you are the words that are in verse 9, do not be afraid nor be dismayed. That word afraid means dread. It means consumed with anxiety. Anybody been there? There's things that make us afraid. The word dismayed, it means to break down. It means you're falling apart. If you're not walking with God, not only are you not fulfilling your purpose, you're falling apart. And God says, don't do that. Don't do that. Walk with me. Engage my word. Remember my promise. Stay focused on my plan and consume my word. Why? Because then you'll be strong and courageous and you will live out your purpose. Are you making progress in terms of the economy of God's kingdom? Ask yourself that question this morning. That's what I want to leave you with. Remember the point. Those who live out God's purpose do so in the outflow of their walk with God.